Last Sunday, I talked some about giving and about God giving us what we've got. We looked and thought together from Deuteronomy chapter 9. This morning, I want to point you to another chapter 9, but this time 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and one verse in particular. And that is verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Before I read that, I want to talk to you a little bit about this verse. And really not just about this verse, but about there's two chapters that this is a part of. Chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 looks back to a previous chapter at the very end of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the verses that we're most familiar with from that chapter are verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also you are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside, store it up, lay it by in store, is the old language in some of the other translations, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. We miss that last part a lot of times. So there will be no collecting when I come. Collect ahead of time so that when I come, and notice the next verse, verse 3, there is a focus for this collection. And the focus is, he says, when I arrive, then you need to have some letters that will be accompany those who take this gift. This money is going to Jerusalem. And I think what we're hearing there is something that we see referred to in Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. When Paul meets with Peter and John in Jerusalem, and they agree that they should divide the mission work between Peter and John focusing on the Jews and Paul and Barnabas focusing on the Gentiles. But they add something. Peter says, I just have one request. As you go and work among the Gentiles, remember the poor. And I would suggest to you that the poor he's referring to is the poor of Jerusalem. And so this is the collection that's associated with what you read in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, if you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, he speaks of the grace of God that was given among the churches in Macedonia. The churches in Macedonia are the north part of Greece. Corinth is in the south part of Greece, Achaia. And Paul says, the Gentile brethren up in Macedonia have already given for the poor in Jerusalem. But you and Achaia, though you've committed orally, have not come through with the money. And notice in chapter 8, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians, he again speaks of this, these funds being directed toward the relief of the saints. And he says these Macedonians gave with great joy for the relief of the saints. And he says in chapter 8, verse 6, that Titus has been sent to encourage those of Achaia, Corinth. That he's been sent to encourage them, to urge them to complete this act of grace, this act of giving. Now in chapter 9, verse 1, he again says this is a ministry or a service for the saints, this money that's being collected. And in chapter 9, verse 7, perhaps the most familiar verse of these two chapters, in which Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. That's the verse right before the one I'm going to read in just a moment. Chapter 9, verse 8. Chapter 9, verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver, such as those at Macedonia, such as he hopes will be the attitude of Achaia. But notice also the verse right after the one I'm about to read. chapter 9, verse 9. And there he quotes from the Old Testament. He quotes from Psalm 112. And if you look back at Psalm 112, you will find out who the he is of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9. He quotes this chapter, Psalm 112, verse 9. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Who is the he? Well, if you go back to Psalm 112, verse 1, it says, the man who fears the Lord. And in Psalm 112, verses 5 and 6, it says, the man who fears the Lord is generous and he does what is right or righteous. And in specifically, if you go back and read Psalm 112, verse 9, it says that he, this man who fears the Lord, this man who is generous toward the poor and who does what's right, this man lends to the poor. And this man freely gives to the poor. And so Paul quotes Psalm 112, verse 9, in support of what he's going to say in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. So I want to read that verse. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. Folks, that's a short verse, but there's a lot there. And there's a lot that encourages me when I read that and when I read our congregation. See, I think this verse fits us. It fits who we are. I think it fits our understanding of who God is. God is a God of sufficiency. God is a God of enough. And we need to hear that in a world that keeps pounding on us, saying, there isn't enough. And you better do what you've got to do to make sure you've got enough. That's a lie. That's a lie. There is always enough. Because God is a God who is able. That's what this verse says, doesn't it? It says that, doesn't it? Do we believe that? God is able to do whatever He wants to do. If our question is not, is there enough? Our question just is, God, does God want this done? Would God like to see this done? Then if God wants it done, God is able to see that we have the wherewithal to do what God wants us to do. And that's not just about money, is it? That's also about people, isn't it? Sometimes we think there's not enough people. Is God able beyond money? Is God able when it comes to people? Will God give us enough people to do what God wants us to do as a congregation? There's not a scarcity of people. Why? Because God is able. I've seen that over and over again here. Somebody gets sick. Somebody moves away. Somebody dies. Is God able to see that we have who we need? I've seen that over and over and over again. God is able to make all grace. I hope that you're beginning to understand, because I've been trying to stress this the last year or two. Grace is about more than the forgiveness of our sins, the gift of the forgiveness of our sins. Now, that's included in grace, but that's a limited understanding of the grace of God. The grace of God is about every good and perfect gift, including the forgiveness of our sins, but much more than that. It is by the grace of God that I hope to eat some lunch today. Now, there's going to be some other things involved, like some preparation. But ultimately, I will eat food today because of the grace of God. It's a gift. And my role is to be thankful for that gift. I'm going to sleep under a roof today, but only by the grace of God. And my role is to be thankful for that good gift. I've got some clothes to wear today, but only by the grace of God. My role is to just be thankful for what I've got. There's not a thing that you have that you do not have, but it is the grace of God. Your health, what health you've got, and it may not be very good health, but what health you've got by the grace of God. The next breath that you breathe, you will breathe by the grace of God. And God, who gives us all those things, gives us enough because He's able. God gives us enough for whatever it is we need, whether it's personally, whether it is as a congregation, whether it is as a state or a nation or our world. God is able. And He will make all grace. And I love what He says next. He says He'll make not just, He just doesn't give you grace. He makes it abound. Notice the repetition of the word abound in this verse. Twice. That He makes all grace abound. Abound means there's plenty. You've got enough. You've got more than enough. It's like the story where Jesus blesses the two loaves, the two fishes and the five loaves. And He feeds thousands. And at the end they collect, and there's more than what they started with left over. That's an illustration of abounding. God can make sure we've got enough for what we need to do. Abound to you. And He says, at all times. When this congregation back in the early 60s was 1,000 members, it was easy visually, I think, to say God's blessings are clear. But I would suggest to you those same blessings are just as powerful today as they were in 1963. And that God is just as able now as He was then. And God still makes all grace abound to us as He did then, at all times, now or back then, or in the future. And that He will make these abound in every good work. What's God's intention for us as a congregation? To be about good work. And will God supply what we need to be able to do good work? He has, He is, He shall. Do you believe that? He has, He is, He shall. God is even able to make all grace abound at all times and abound in every good work, even with a bunch like us, who use canes and walkers and park in the handicapped spaces and are arthritic and aching and have diabetes and gray hair and colored hair and no hair and failing memory and no memory and false memory. You've heard that saying, the older I get, the better I was. That's false memory. God is able to use a bunch like us. Because see, it's not about us. How can God use a bunch like us? Because really, it's not that we're the ones supplying the power or the ability. God's not about our ability. He's just about our availability. That's the key issue. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Are you available? Are you willing to turn yourself over to God? I give up. What do you want me to do? Are you available? God using us is not about our ability or even our mobility. Some of you, you're not as mobile as you used to be. Do you know God can still use you for some good things if you just make yourself available? God can use us even when our youth group averages somewhere in the 40s, age 40. Because God is able to make all grace abound to you at all times so that you might abound in every good work. I don't know about you, but it just strikes me as I read the Bible, as I think about the Bible as a whole, that it seems to me that God delights in using people unexpectedly. That when most people look at them, they think, you know, there's not much there, not much hope there, and I don't think much is going to get done there. And it seems to me that God, when that happens, God says, I think I've got those folks about where I want them. If they'll just make themselves available. I'm going to do something wonderful with those folks. One of my favorite movies is the movie Hoosiers. It's based on a true story. I don't know how loosely it's based, but it is based on a true story of a little town in Indiana. And it was back when in Indiana, in basketball season, there weren't classifications. Every town that had a school, they competed against each other no matter what size they were. So as you might imagine, the teams from Indianapolis or the big cities would dominate. But there's this little town where this washed-up coach gets a job after he'd failed on more than one level previously. And he's got this team that doesn't look like much. And they go through some trials. But they find a way to become a team. And they end up winning a state championship, this little town, playing this school from a great big city. And they win the championship. And what's appealing, I think, about that story is here's these folks that don't look very likely. You think a bunch like them could win? See, I think that's us. I think there's a lot of outsiders that look at this church and say, I don't know. I don't think there's much there. And I don't think there's much hope there. And I don't think there's much future there. And I think God may look at us in a little bit different way. I think God, when He looks at you and when He looks at me and He says, you know, I think I can do something with them. They'll just make themselves available. It seems to me God delights in taking what seems small and insignificant and doing something surprising. I mean, I think that's what happens in creation, isn't it? Everybody else, when they see it, they just say, that's dirt. And God says, I think I can form that into something wonderful. Remember that story of creation, human beings? Out of dust. Can God do some wonderful things out of dust? I want to read one more time. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. Amen. Folks, God will give us what we need. Whatever it is that we need, God will give it to us. I hope you'll keep thinking about this verse. I think there's a lot there.